This morning, I would like to begin by thinking about relationships. The Bible has a lot to say about relationships. The Ten Commandments is all about relationships. The first four commandments deals with our vertical relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So the first four commandments deals with our vertical relationship with God and who He is. And then the last six commandments deals with our relationships with one another. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. They all deal with our relationships to one another. And so I want us to begin thinking about our relationships this morning. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning verses 1 to 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Paul is writing to Timothy, a young pastor, and he's going to tell Timothy how you're to relate to one another inside the body of Christ. He says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Treat younger men like brothers, older women like mothers, younger women like sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." Paul's writing to Timothy. He's saying, "Timothy, this is how I want you to relate to the people in the church. To the older men, I want you to relate to them as your father. Don't rebuke them. You wouldn't rebuke your father, but encourage them. To the younger men, treat them like brothers in Christ. To the older women, relate to them as your mother. And to the younger women, as sisters in the Lord, in all purity." Paul, knowing the danger of young men and young women, throws in there, "in all purity." And then he begins to talk about those who are widows indeed. And some believe that there's actually an office for widows indeed inside the church, meaning that if there's a woman who is a widow and she has no family to support her, no children, grandchildren, then it's the church's responsibility to care for her. But if she has family, sons, daughters, grandchildren, then they're to care for her. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's talking to Timothy about how we are to relate to one another inside the body of Christ. Now, today is Mother's Day, and I would like for us to think about three things this morning. I want us to think about the church. Then I want us to think about the women of Calvary Baptist Church. And then I want us to think about God's calling upon the women of Calvary Baptist Church. Now, someone might say, "Is this right? I mean, we're here to worship God, and we're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you're going to devote this whole service to the church, the women in the church, and God's calling upon the women of Calvary Baptist Church. Is this right?" Well, I remind you that it was God who looked out upon Adam and said, "Adam, it's not good that you be alone." And God made a woman for Adam to be his helper. He took a rib and he formed her and made her. And as the reformer said, he made her out of a rib, not out of the bottom of his feet to be walked on and trampled, not out of the top of his head to reign over him, but the woman was made from the rib next to the heart so she could walk beside him and be his friend, his companion. And we also reminded in Scripture that In the beginning, God created them. Male and female, He created them in His image. That men and women are made in the image of God. And I also remind you that it was Jesus in John chapter 4 that the scripture says He had to go through Samaria. Why? Because He had a divine appointment with an immoral Samaritan woman. Because He cared about her. And then in James tells us this is pure religion in the sight of God, to visit the orphans and the widow. This is what pure religion looks like. It's reaching out and caring for the needs of people. So this morning, what I want us to do is kind of take the blinders off, because all of us got these little blinders on, and life really just consists of me and my family and my job and what's going on in my family. And sometimes we forget what's going on in the church family. So what I'm asking us to do this morning is take the blinders off. And I want us to see the church. And I want us to see the women of Calvary Baptist Church and God's calling upon the women of Calvary Baptist Church. Let's begin with the women of Calvary Baptist Church. I want to begin by describing the circumstances of the women of Calvary Baptist Church, or the possible circumstances of the women of Calvary Baptist Church. There are some women who are single and will remain single all the days of their life. They would love to find Mr. Wright, and to have children, and to raise a family. But for some reason, by the divine providence of God, Mr. Wright never shows up. And they spend their lives being a single woman. Now, as a church, what kind of struggles would a single woman have? And how could we as a church minister to a single woman? Do you think a single woman might struggle with loneliness? Do you think she might struggle with, God, what's wrong with me? Am I some kind of an oddball? Am I some kind of a misfit? How come, Lord, you've overlooked me and you've never brought a man into my life? Nobody loves me. Am I some kind of a loser? God, do you really love me and care for me? If you would, you would bring a man into my life. You think a single woman struggles with things like that? How can we as a church minister to a single woman? Is God punishing me? Doesn't He care about me? Doesn't He understand the longings of my heart? Does He know that I will never enjoy sex? I will never enjoy giving birth to children and raising them? God, you'll never give me that? Golly, how do we as a church minister to single women? Now, there are some single women who are single women by God's calling. That is, God has a ministry for them. I think about somebody like Rachel Saint. Her brother was Nate Saint that was killed in Ecuador back in the 1950s. You're all familiar with that account. Rachel Saint dedicated her life and ministry to the Alca Indians for some 40 or 50 years. She was single. Or an Amy Carmichael. Or I know Ina Vandermolen, Paul and I do. She's a missionary with Wycliffe Bible Translators in the Philippines. She's dedicated her life to translating the Bible into the Obo-Manobo language. So there are some single women that God has called to a ministry. And there are other single women that struggle. But God, why am I single? And how do we as a church minister to a single woman? And then there are some in our church who are single moms. For whatever reason, they find themselves single and with a child or with many children. And the marriage component is missing, maybe painfully missing. What do you think a single mom struggles with? And how do we as a church minister to her? Do you think she struggles with being accepted? Will the church accept me? Will the church judge me? Will they treat me like dirt or some kind of a tramp? Or will the church embrace me as a daughter of Christ? You ever think about being a single mom? I can't think of anything more difficult than being a single mom. How do you work 8 hours and provide for your children? When you drive down to the daycare and you drop them off, don't you think single moms probably shed some tears when they have to leave their child in a daycare and go to work to provide for them? And then what do you do when your children get old enough that they're in school till 3 o'clock and you don't get off work till 5? How are you going to minister to them? Who's going to take care of them? How are they going to get from a school setting to a daycare center where somebody can care for them? Can you think of anything more difficult than being a single mom and all that you have to juggle? And when you come home from work exhausted and you've picked up the kids from daycare, you walk in the apartment or the house all alone. There's no meal ready. You've got to cook one. The kids are tired. The kids are hungry. So you prepare a meal. After the meal, it's homework and helping the kids with the homework. And then after that, you're doing some laundry and you're folding clothes. And now all of a sudden it's 10:30 and you're exhausted and you've had no time for yourself. I was talking to a single mom one time and she said, you know, sometimes it's nice just to have an adult to talk to. All I'm with is children all day long, and just to have an adult that I could talk to, what a blessing. How do we as a church minister to single moms? And then there are women who are married in our church who can't have any children. They're struggling with infertility. Some of you remember Angie and Elliot Anderson. They were members of Calvary Baptist Church. And God called him into the ministry, and we ordained him, and we sent him to the Evangelical Free Church in Elgin. But while they were here at Calvary, members of Calvary, they struggled with infertility. And Angie shared about the emotional roller coaster ride that you're on. Every month you get hope. And then it drops. And maybe next month. And it drops. And she said, over and over again, month after month, year after year, you keep hoping and praying that God will give you a child. And it never happens. Angie and Elliot, in fact, Elliot wrote a book on their struggle with infertility. He's written a book, and you remember their struggles while they're here at Calvary? They had been praying for a child, and God, for some reason, did not grant them a child. So they decided to adopt. And all of a sudden, they were selected by a birthing mother in Michigan. They got the phone call. She's having twins. And they drove up there with great joy and excitement, and they got to the hospital. And the birthing mother changed her mind and said, I'm going to keep the twins. They got in the car and drove home, probably in tears and a very quiet drive back around the lake, back to Elgin. Elliot grabbed some clothes and threw it in some luggage, and he took his wife, Angie, to Wisconsin. They just wanted to be alone, did not want to be around anybody, talked with anybody. Then they got a call. The birth mother changed her mind and was going to give them the twins. So they raced across the lake, and they adopted Eliah and Jacob. Got the boys home, and man, it wasn't 3 months, she got pregnant. Remember that? And she gave birth to her daughter. And about 2 months later, she got pregnant again. And in 2 years, God gave them 4 children. I saw Jacob and Eliah yesterday at Concord Park playing baseball. Now, that story ended happily. But what do you do with a woman who continues to pray and God never gives her a child? How do we as a church minister to that woman? And then there are women in our church who are divorced. What do you do when you're married and all of a sudden your husband comes home and packs up all of his clothes and says, I don't love you anymore, I'm leaving. And he walks out the door to never be involved in your life again, and you've got to sit down and tell your children, Dad doesn't want to be a part of our lives anymore. He doesn't care for us. What does a divorced woman struggle with? Does she struggle with acceptance, rejection? Does she have this enormous amount of guilt that it must be my fault? If I would have done more of this and maybe less of this, maybe he wouldn't have left us. How do we as a church minister to women who have gone through a divorce? And then there are women in our church that by the good providence of God, they're able to stay home. Their husband makes enough income that they can stay home and be a mom. To stay home and do the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry. To pick up the kids from school and to drop the kids off at school and to take the dog to the vet and take the kids to the dentist. She's been blessed by God to be able to stay home and be a mom. Paul and I, when we first got married, we lived in a little apartment over there on Hill Street. And she was working at Safety Clean, and I was working with my dad. And we didn't spend money on anything. We were just stockpiling a down payment for our house. We worked for 4 years just to get enough income to put down on our house. And then we got the money. We bought a house in South Elgin, and she was pregnant with our second daughter, Amy. And I told her, I said, I might be able to give you a year where you could just stay home and be a mom. But after that, you're probably going to have to go back to work. But then by the providence of God, Stacy Faulkner came along, and she's a school teacher, and she needed somebody to babysit Carlin. And she contacted Paul and said, would you watch my daughter Carlin, and I'll pay you for that, and you can stay home and take care of your kids and my daughter, and I'll go to school. And so God used that situation for Stacy. She helped us with some income, and we helped her by watching her daughter. And so we were blessed by God providentially that Paula has been able to stay home for now some 15 years. And I just say thank you, Lord, that we stay home and be a mom. But you know, that's not all roses to be a stay-at-home mom. You know what moms that stay home sometimes struggle with? Personal identity and appreciation. Sometimes they can think, you know what? I do all the cooking and all the cleaning and nobody appreciates what I do. Every time you open the drawer and you've got clean clothes, it didn't just happen. Somebody put them there. And moms that stay home can struggle with, you know what? I'm not out there in the world. I don't have a job with a classy office and my name's not on the door and I'm not getting job promotions. I just sort of am a nobody that nobody pays any attention to. How does the church minister to stay-at-home moms? And then there are moms who work outside the home. There are mothers who weave together their mothering and their marriage and their home management with part-time and full-time employment outside of the home. Some work outside the home because they have to. Especially in our economy, where their husbands are getting laid off. And praise God for women that step up to the plate and say, I'm willing to get a part-time job or a full-time job so that our family will have the financial resources that we need. And so some women work outside the home because they have to. It's a financial necessity. There are some who work outside of the home because they feel God has called them to that. And somehow they are able to manage to keep all their priorities in order by talking about keeping their husbands first, their children second, and their job third. And they're able to interlace all of those schedules in a way that brings glory to God. And then there's women in our church who are widows. They have said goodbye to the dearest person on earth. Someone that they have shared their life with for some 40 or 50 years is gone. How do we as a church minister to the widows of Calvary Baptist Church? What do you think they struggle with? Several years ago, there was a series of letters to the columnist Ann Landers on the subject of men who snore. Wives wrote in complaining of the countless hours of lost sleep and the irritation of that awful noise beside them in bed. Others wrote offering solutions. But the discussion came to an end with one letter. Snoring is the sweetest music in the world. Ask any widow. How do we as a church minister to the widows of Calvary Baptist Church? Now let me say this. For all of the circumstances that I've talked about, whether you are a single woman, a single mom, a divorced woman, a working mom, whatever your situation, whatever your circumstances is this morning, I want to tell you this, that the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient. For whatever your circumstance is, the grace of God is sufficient. But here's what's wonderful, that in the midst of this thing called relationships, where you can have a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ and know that He's your Heavenly Father and He's going to care for you, this God has given you a church and a body of believers who can come alongside you and minister to you and to strengthen you. So you've got this vertical relationship and a horizontal relationship. Maybe someday we could have a woman's day at Calvary again, and we could let one of the single moms stand up and give their testimony of what is it like to be a single mom. Maybe we could have a woman stand up here and share with you what it's like to be a divorced mom, or a working mom, or to be a widow, and you could hear firsthand what it's like so that we could learn as a church how to minister to these women. Now, I want to go to point B. We talked about the church, the women of Calvary Baptist Church, and now what is God's calling upon the women of Calvary Baptist Church? Now here I'm going to be speaking in a general term. And I'm simply saying, as you read your Bible and you look at it as a whole, what is the general teaching in Scripture about God's calling upon a woman's life? What is the dominant commitments of a woman's life? I got three. First, she is to be committed to Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. She is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is her first and foremost commitment for every woman in Calvary Baptist Church. I want to read the life prayer of Betty Scott Stamm. Elizabeth Elliot married Jim Elliot, who was martyred down in Ecuador. She was 11 years old when Betty Scott Stamm visited the home of her mom and dad. And when she was 11 years old, she got her Bible, and Betty Scott Stamm wrote in the back of Elizabeth Elliot's Bible these words, "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and I accept Thy will for my life." Here's the Lordship of Jesus Christ, accepting the will of God for your life, whatever it is, to accept it in the will of God. "I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to Thee, to be Thine forever. Fill me, seal me with Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou will. Send me where Thou will. Work out Thy will in my life at any cost, now and forever." About 5 years after Betty Scott Stamm visited the house of the parents of Elizabeth Elliot, her dad walked in one day with a newspaper, and he was upset. right on the headlines. It said missionaries beheaded in China. Betty Scott Stamm and her husband were captured by the communists. They executed her husband first, and then she was commanded to put her head on the block at any cost. Women of Calvary Baptist Church, your first commitment is to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to find that whatever His will and purpose for your life is, to accept it. Because in accepting the will of God, you're going to find joy for your life. That's your first commitment. Second commitment, a woman is committed to her husband, to his calling. A woman is called to be her husband's helper, his partner. That is your second commitment as the women of Calvary Baptist Church, to come alongside your husbands and to help them. And then your third calling is that you're committed to your children and to the teaching and the training of your children. I want us to look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Older women, again, he's talking about the church and how you're to relate to one another in the church. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slave to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, pure, workers at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Here Paul's giving instruction to the older women, and he said, I want you to come alongside the younger women in the church, and I want you to mentor them and teach them to love their own husbands and to love their children and to teach their children about the Lord. So if you're a woman of Calvary Baptist Church, I'm speaking in general terms here. You're to be committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You're to be committed to your husband and his calling. And you're to be committed to your children and the training and the teaching of your children. Now, before we're dismissed this morning, I want to give to the mothers of Calvary Baptist Church two gifts, two promises from God's Word that you can take home. When you feel overwhelmed by all that God requires of you and say, I can't do it, that's a wonderful place to be in. Because when you cry out to God, say, I can't do it, then God will come and minister to you and give you the grace and the strength that you need to do what He's called you to do. I won't give you just two promises. I could give you many, and I'm sure that you have many that you've underlined in your own Bibles. But I won't give you two promises when you feel overwhelmed at God's calling upon your life. Look at Isaiah 41, 10 through 11. Isaiah 41, 10 through 11. This is my gift to the women of Calvary Baptist Church before we're dismissed. I'm reading from the King James here. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Women, when you get overwhelmed, go to Isaiah 41:10. And God's saying, don't fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And then the other one is Psalm 73, 26. You don't have to turn there. You can write it down. But it says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Just two promises for the women of Calvary Baptist Church to hold on to. And I pray that God will continue to bless Calvary Baptist Church with godly women who will walk with the Lord and serve Him. We have a closing hymn at this time, Bill.